Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
If you've been listening to my broadcasts, you know I've given you many examples of outrageous decisions by supremacist judges. They are the ones who think they are smart enough to make political and social decisions and powerful enough to override the wishes of other branches of government. A supremacist judge is one who thinks he is supreme over the legislature and over the will of the American people. If there is any issue that should be clearly and exclusively a function of the legislature, elected by the people, it is the matter of raising taxes and spending the people's money. Unfortunately, some supremacist judges think they can order the legislature to raise taxes and tell them how to spend the taxpayers' money. One of the most amazing examples of judicial tyranny is the case called Flores versus Arizona, which has been pending in federal court in Tucson since 1992. This case was originally filed by lawyers claiming to represent 160,000 children of illegal aliens who attend public schools. The case seeks to force Arizona taxpayers to pay for bringing these children, called English language learners, up to grade level. In the year 2000, a Carter-appointed judge ruled that the inability of illegal alien children to speak English well enough to succeed in school meant that Arizona was violating a federal law that requires the public schools to take appropriate action to overcome language barriers. The legislature then passed three bills providing funds to address this problem, but the governor vetoed all three. The original judge retired, and the Flores case was handed over to a Clinton-appointed judge who last December imposed fines of $500,000 a day, escalating to $2 million a day, for every day that the legislature failed to appropriate the money acceptable to the governor. Millions of dollars of fines have accumulated. If this continues to the end of the legislative session, the fines will total more than $77 million.
Can activist judges be stopped, or will they continue to rewrite laws with no regard for the Constitution or the will of the people? Find out what you can do by reading Phyllis Schlafly's new book, The Supremacists, The Tyranny of Judges and How to Stop It. For information, go online to eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. Or write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, and a man who says even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Derry Brownfield.
Hello there. Derry Brownfield here, and I am happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It is the talk show with the country flavor and some common sense points of view. The other day, we had Jack McLamb on the air with us, and he was talking about our court system and how sometimes things are done not according to the way our court system is set up. And we were discussing Carol Asher, a friend of ours who lives in Kemi, Idaho, who served as a jury member and got in trouble because she didn't do exactly what the judge had told her to do. And I am pleased to tell you that, and I mentioned this last week, that the charges have all been dropped because the judge said you did not present enough evidence to take her on to a further court system. Now, I have with us today Carol Asher. Carol, hi. It's good to have you as a guest on the Common Sense Coalition.
Well, good morning, Derry. Good morning from Idaho, and it's a pleasure to be with you. And I thank you so much for giving time for this issue on your show. May I say, first of all, a huge thank you to you, Derry, personally, and to all of your caring, thoughtful, and generous listeners who have supported me through these past couple of very interesting months. Your gifts, your prayers, just your moral support got us through, and thank God for all of you.
Okay, we do, and I mentioned also that our listeners, we have the finest listeners in the world.
Yes, you do.
Yes. But anyway, you...
Derry, may I say this, too? A certain number of your good folks wrote to us and sent donations anonymously. And a double thanks to those folks because we're not even able to acknowledge them personally.
Well, that's perfectly all right. But tell us exactly what happened. Why don't you start from day one when you were put on the jury?
Okay, Derry. This was last July, and I was called for jury service and went and... was selected, of course, and the judge, I guess, it's a standard practice. The judge, and by the way, this is a judge whom I respected, a judge for whom I voted and was very happy when he took office a couple of years ago because he spoke to us. He came to our civic meetings a couple of times and spoke to us about how he was going to give our district court, that is a state district court, back to the service of the people, because I guess not too much had been done in the previous years, at least not to his in his view, to really serve the people and make sure that they had their day in court, as it were. But anyway, long story short, when the judge gave the instructions at the beginning that we would be explained the law, that he would explain the law to us and we would apply it as he explained it, I didn't anticipate any problem, but it turned out then that after in the later proceedings of the trial and our deliberations, when I had some problems and voiced certain problems, then I was charged with perjury based on the allegation that I had remained silent, letting the court think that I would do exactly as I was told and then later had some objections. But in my defense, let's say this. When you are read those instructions by the judge, or when you are instructed by the judge, you don't know what the trial is about. So how could I have known if some objectionable problems were going to arise later? So the charge of perjury seems a little strange from that point of view. But thank God it has been dropped. And let me say this. I believe that the fact that the charges were, or that the charge was dropped is due in large part to the two very fine lawyers that we were blessed with. And again, your folks helped largely to pay for those lawyers. And I don't even know where we stand yet with that. But we had one man who was a local lawyer here. He was supported by, assisted by, a fully informed jury lawyer by the name of Paul Grant, who flew in from Denver, from the Denver area. And during the hearing this past week, those two lawyers objected on the grounds of a fully informed jury principles. Mainly Paul Grant did. And so I want to give a notice of appreciation to them, too, because they did a fine job.
Okay. Go ahead.
Shall we go back then to, let's see, I think... Gary, I want to get this point across.
Yeah, we want to stress to the people, the listeners, because there are a lot of people out there that have been on juries, they're going to be on juries, and they have no idea the rights that a juryman has.
Yes. And, Gary, I think the bottom line here, at least for me, was a matter of hierarchy of law. In other words, the only time that I had problems in deliberating that case. Oh, let me tell you, I'm sorry, I got off track here. The young man for whom I was deliberating, the defendant, was a young man of 22 years old, I guess, and he had been stopped, recognized by a city police officer in this area because of some, some probation violation. Anyway, they had been on the lookout for him, and they stopped him, and he was at a small roadside park, if you will. And he, when he got there, had locked his pickup and walked away from it because there was a monument there that he wanted to look at.
He was an Indian, a Native American Indian, right?
That's what I'm told, yes. And anyway, as he's standing there, he notices this city police car drive up and park, I believe, behind his pickup. But the pickup had been locked as he walked away, before he walked away from it. Well, then, secondly, an Idaho County Sheriff's deputy came and also came on the scene, and the two of them forcefully took the keys from the young man in spite of his protestations. He kept saying, "You shouldn't search that pickup because it's not even mine." But anyway, they did, and they found a tiny packet of methamphetamine in the vehicle.
Okay, this would be a good place to stop. We're going to take a commercial break here in just a matter of moments. Our number is 1-800-973-3779. Your calls are welcome. We're visiting today with Carol Asher, and we're talking about being a fully informed jurist. Stay tuned.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show, online at DerryBrownfield.com.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, "Get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread." For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Today with Carol Asher, the lady that was on the jury and got charged with perjury because she knew her juryman's rights. Carol, going into the commercial break, you was talking about the young Native American Indian boy that was driving a company pickup. I don't think you mentioned that, but I know that's what it was.
Right.
And there was a small amount of meth, apparently, in that truck.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and when it came to deliberating the case, it bothered me greatly that the prosecution had not shown that the defendant, the young man, actually knew that the meth was in the pickup. They merely were going to, what I thought, ramrod him into a penalty, into prison, without them showing proof that he was actually guilty. And so that was one thing. Now, the other thing that bothered me greatly was the forced search without a warrant. And so when I began to raise this point, then I was reminded that this is not a point that we could consider, because let me explain this. No less than 3 times during the trial, I wrote out a question and submitted it to each of the 2 police officers on the stand, and a 3rd time I handed a note to the judge. And the note that I wrote said something like this: "Officer, in your understanding of the law, was it correct for the police to force search the pickup without first obtaining a warrant?" I thought that was a fair question, and I want to say, Derry, that it was really a nice feature of the trial that the judge does allow the jury to write out questions to any witness that's on the stand, and that we appreciated that. And whereas the judge read out to the court each question that came up before him, for the most part, I don't think any question was actually not read until it came to mine. And when it came to my question, instead of reading it out to the court and allowing the officer on the stand to answer, he merely said, there's a question here about the legality of the search. And he said, and forgive me, I don't know the exact words he said, but it was something like, there was a pretrial agreement made, or decision made, I should say, and that the search was legal. And so they laid that aside, and I imagine he added, "So jury, you are not to consider that point." Well, that wasn't good enough for me, Derry, and so the second officer got on the stand, and I asked the same question, but each time I was told, "No, this has already been decided." Now here's my point, and I mentioned it, but I got off track afterwards. The bottom line for me was a matter of the hierarchy of law. In other words, law is really very simple. You've got the Creator's law, and it's codified in the Ten Commandments, right? And Jesus managed to narrow that down to two. Love and honor your Creator, and be fair to your brother.
Okay, that's a good place to take another break. We're going to do that. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
And we have returned. Now, you're in the jury room. Not in the jury room. You're at court, Carol.
Yes.
And you keep questioning this trial agreement that the search was legal.
Right.
Yet you know that the search was not legal because you have to have a warrant to search and the car was locked, right?
Well, yes, Derry. At least in my inexpert opinion, I mean, the understanding that I had just as a common Susie Jones citizen was that, yes, the police did need a warrant. However, what I was doing was giving deference to the court and saying, Your Honor, perhaps I don't understand the law correctly. Perhaps there are some lawful procedures, and all I was asking was that those be explained to me. And I'll tell you, it hurt very much when I didn't get that explanation, because all I was trying to do was obey the highest law of the land. And the highest law of the land is God's law, which simply says, don't harm your brother wrongly. Don't pin blame on him wrongly. And so it's not good enough for me for a judge, a lawyer, a police officer, even a priest or a president, I don't care who, declares that something is lawful. If in my heart of hearts, and I was there, wasn't I there to judge as a juror? I was there to judge the fairness of the treatment of this young defendant. So if in my heart of hearts I did not believe that they had conducted themselves properly and proven his guilt, therefore I had to object. And so when I asked about the lawfulness of the search, it would have helped a great deal if they had explained it to me. But when they didn't, then I had to object later on when we came to deliberate and prepare for our vote. Because either we have a supreme law in our land or we don't. And if, what does supreme law mean? You know, your average American is likely to know, yes, we have, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Most any American can tell you that. But what does that mean? What it means is if any law of man subsequent is in contradiction to that highest law, then we must disregard it. Now, what is the highest law of the land as it applies to this little case I was serving on? The Fourth Amendment guarantees the God-given rights of that defendant and of you and me and all the listeners against unwarranted, unfair, unlawful searches and seizures. So that was the point on which I was having a problem, okay? So anyway, that's how I got myself in trouble, I believe, by questioning a lower law when it contradicted the highest law of the land, which is God's law guaranteed by the Constitution.
Okay, now, so you're in the jury room, I guess. You moved on into the jury room.
Yes, and Derry, if you'll allow me.
Sure.
I don't think that I want to say anything in terms of quoting what went on in the jury room, because I want to honor that also. All I want to, in other words, there's supposedly a right of secrecy of what goes on in the jury room.
Apparently there wasn't in your case.
Excuse me?
I say apparently there wasn't in your case.
That's true. But what happened against me, or allegedly against me, is one thing, but I don't want to do the same thing against anyone else. But I will say this. I admit I had a problem with the evidence, I should say lack of evidence against this young man, lack of proven evidence. And secondly, I had a problem with the way they treated him of violating his Fourth Amendment right of unlawful search and seizure.
Now, you know, well, I don't want to get to that right now. But if we have time before the program's over, you realize now that the Fourth Amendment is no more in the Constitution.
It is no more?
No more, because this new Patriot Act passed the other day.
Well, isn't this sad?
And all you have to do is be a terrorist suspect.
Yeah.
See, they said that kid could be a terrorist suspect. You don't know what's in that car. He might have
sure.
been carrying dynamite or something.
Sure. But I believe that no matter how many Patriot Acts they pass or anything else they may do to supposedly take away our God-given liberties and rights, it is incumbent upon the American people, and I'll start with myself as a little citizen here, it's our job in this constitutional republic to stand firm and know for one thing that we individually honor our God-given rights, honor the God who gave them to us, and that we then secondly, and here's where many Americans don't realize, they must stand in to monitor their elected authorities. Anybody who stands in position of authority as a public servant should be monitored by the citizenry to make sure that they, too, uphold that one supreme law of God of right and wrong. That's where we need to put the pressure, I believe, is on educating our fellow citizens that they are the top adjudicators, if you will, of what our public servants do or don't do. We're way past the time when we just look the other way and we elect somebody to office or allow them to be appointed to office and go in and get a salaried job, and then we trust that they're going to do right. They may not do right, and here's a case where I believe that right was not done.
Okay, we're going to take another commercial break. Our number is 1-800-973-3779. Your calls are welcome. When we come back, I would like to... You can go into detail on why you were charged with perjury, can you not?
Yes, Derry.
Okay,
yes.
When we come back, I'd like to know that, and I'm sure our listeners are interested as well. Stay tuned. Thank you.
the Dairy Brownfield Show online at DairyBrownfield.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Gold prices dipped to a two-month low on Friday as stronger-than-expected employment data lifted the U.S. dollar. Gold closed down $5.60 to $539.90 an ounce. Silver shed a penny to $9.93 an ounce. Analysts view this latest correction as normal and healthy in a secular or long-term bull market. Price corrections offer new investors a great buying opportunity. More at SwissAmerica.com. Now this.
5 years ago, my book, Rediscovering Gold, announced the start of a new gold rush. Today, experts are calling for gold to hit $1,000, $2,000, even $3,000 an ounce. The good news is, it's not too late. Gold is still a bargain. If you want to understand gold before it hits four digits, call now for my latest newsletter, The Rule of Gold, at 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUYCOIN. Discover why gold rules.
Let's go to Yuma, Arizona. Mel, hi, you're on the air, Mel.
Hi, Derry, how are you?
Good.
A couple of things. First of all, I want to give you an extra plug for your Common Sense Chronicles. Folks, if you're not getting it, you ought to. It put some really, really excellent stuff in that little monthly pamphlet of yours.
Well, thank you.
There you have it. Isn't it time you become a subscriber also? The Common Sense Chronicle is Derry's monthly newsletter that brings important issues to the headlines. Each month, you'll read news not reaching the mainstream, written only the way Derry can say it. Plus, guest writers and monthly features like Thoughts from Beth's Desk and Ignorance Gone to Seed. Just like Mel from Arizona said, if you're not getting it, you want to. So for a free sample, write to Chronicle, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. To order, just send $24.95, check, cash, or money order to Chronicle, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023.
The American agriculture movement sympathizes with farmers and hurricane victims. Unfortunately, common sense environmental views were not followed by controlled, politically correct governmental officials. Instead, extremist views were followed opposing upgrading levees along the Mississippi River, Missouri River, and many other lakes and rivers. Some extreme environmentalists aim to socialize America, destroy land rights, champion the expired Endangered Species Act, implement United Nations Agenda 21, and destroy river dikes, levees, and dams. Join the American Agriculture Movement, the organization built and controlled by farmers. To join AAM, call 605-993-6201. That's 605-993-6201. Or go online to AAMinc.org.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. And here's the star of the show, and the man who says, a pessimist is just an optimist with experience, Derry Brownfield!
And back to Carol Asher. Carol, why were you charged with perjury? Perjury.
That's fine, Derry. I was charged with perjury, as I understand it, because it is alleged that even though by my silence during the judge's instructions, I agreed, they say, to judge this case, render a fair and impartial verdict based on the evidence presented and the law as the judge explained it. All right? So then, as I mentioned earlier, I had no problem with doing that because I trusted that this judge would explain the law correctly, and that there would be no conflict between the Constitution and that young man's rights and the law as the judge explained it and as we were to apply it. It was only later that some things arose in the trial, some actions, a police action, if you will, and lack of evidence presented by the prosecution that caused my conscience problem. Now, I want to make clear, I was not prosecuted for my vote. At no time was any juror, to my knowledge, ever pressured to vote one way or another. There were three other people who voted to acquit, as well as myself. What I believe got me in trouble was when it came to a point where I said within myself, wait a minute. The judge says we can't consider the fact that there was a forced search here. And that is where the meth was found. You see, let's keep this straight. The young man was stopped on a totally different issue. We would not even have been at that July trial had the police not forced searched the vehicle and then found the meth. Or it may have come up later. But the way it happened seemed unrighteous to me, and so I had to object.
Okay, I can't remember the date, but when I had Jack McClam on and we discussed jury nullification and this sort of thing, your hearing, was it a hearing that was to come up? I believe it was the 7th or something. That's it was one day last week.
That's right. It was Tuesday of last week.
Okay. Now, the judge said who dropped the charges?
This was a hearing by a magistrate. With the, of course, the Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General, the prosecutor was there, as well as my defense. And so they brought certain witnesses to say what I had supposedly done that was that made me guilty of the charge of perjury. Then when...
Well, those witnesses would have had to have been other jury members.
And court personnel. Such as the court clerk, the court clerk who administered the oath of office for us to serve.
There's a court clerk. They're not in the jury room.
No, but they merely had her testify to the fact that I was administered an oath, and therefore that oath put me under penalty of perjury. You see.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, but you're free of the charges now.
Yes, I would not call this a win, Derry. I would not call it a win because, first of all, there wasn't even a trial. I have not been through trial.
But you're not going to trial.
Excuse me.
You're not going to be in a trial.
No, this charge has come to an end. Now, what the magistrate said last Tuesday, after he heard the witnesses, then he looked at the court transcript and noted that I had not spoken anything when the jury as a group was questioned about whether they would follow the law and all that. I just remained silent. So he kind of said, well, she didn't make any statements, so how can she be charged under penalty of perjury for statements that she made agreeing to? See, that's how he reasoned it. And then he turned to the Deputy Attorney General and said, you haven't provided enough evidence here to show that Ms. Asher is guilty of the charge of perjury. Therefore, I am dismissing it. And then he turned and spoke to me and explained to me how the our court system works and how for it to continue in an orderly way, the citizen jurors must be careful to fulfill their role and only their role when they come and are called to serve as a juror, so that the court can do its job and the jury can do its job and the system will continue functioning correctly and orderly.
So they can railroad their people into prison without just trial.
Well, the way I would put that, Derry, so as not to get into further trouble, I challenge any judge, I challenge the whole judicial system to find me wrong in this. Do we have a supreme hierarchy of law or do we not? Is it not true that any judge-made law or ruling, any man-made law subsequent to God's law and to the Constitution, is it not true that any of those laws need to be in alignment with and not contradict the higher law for them to be binding? And let's go again to this point of the Fourth Amendment. Does not the Fourth Amendment and the right against unlawful searches and seizures, does that not reign supreme over a judge or a couple of lawyers who got together prior to trial and said, this shall be declared a lawful search, therefore the jury can't consider it? I'm sorry, but I will go to jail the rest of my life if need be, to stand on that question. It is that serious.
Okay, now what did your fully informed jury lawyer from Denver, Paul Grant, say? What did he tell you?
You mean in the hearing?
Well, in the hearing or personally?
Well, I don't know about personally, but in the hearing, he continually objected that every time one of the witnesses on the stand, that is my former fellow jurors, was on the stand making certain accusations, he stood and gave an objection, as Wesley Hoyt did too, my local lawyer. They objected on the grounds that this is what they called a special kind of evidence that is not allowed to be used as evidence in this hearing. In other words, what came out of the jury room was not admissible, is what they were saying. And so he objected on that. However, to answer your question, Derry, straight out of the chute, at the beginning of the hearing, Paul Grant stood, and he spoke for 5 minutes, I would guess, on this point. He said, Your Honor, if we allow this type of case to be litigated in America, he said, what is it going to do to our jury system? He said, how many Americans are, I'm paraphrasing, of course, how many Americans are going to want to come and serve if they feel the threat of being prosecuted for their honest comments or deliberations in the jury room? And so he went on for about 5 minutes, and I frankly was amazed that the judge allowed him to continue, did not interrupt, nor did the prosecution from the Attorney General's office interrupt. So it was fabulous what he got on the record there. And if I may give my personal opinion, I believe that the judge wanted me to be let off. I think they were willing to jettison me and my case and just let it go away because of this fully informed jury issue.
That's what I was going to say. If it would have gone in your favor, hey, these judges would understand what their job really is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Derek, before we run out of time, there's something very important that I would like to get in, and that is, where to from here? What can the American people learn or do from here, from this point on? And I believe that we need to take a look and find out, back through our history, maybe it happened 100 years ago, maybe 150 years ago, but somewhere along the line, things got changed from what it was in the first Supreme Court presided over by John Jay, where John Jay's court said, the jury has a right to judge both the law as well as the fact in controversy. Then another, Samuel Chase, who was another Supreme Court justice in 1796, said, the jury has the right to determine both the law and the facts. And Oliver Wendell Holmes, the jury has the power to bring a verdict in the teeth of both law and fact. And finally, Harlan Stone, 1941, the law itself is on trial, quite as much as the cause, which is to be decided. So here's what I'm trying to say, Derry. The American people, may I give you an assignment? I think it is a research project for every caring citizen. I don't know, you can go to your local court, you can go anywhere you want. Try to find out where and who changed this from the people on the jury will decide both the law and the justice of the law as well as the facts to what we hear today almost uniformly, because I've been in courts in several states, and each judge seems to say the same thing.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we have a judge standing by that says, you're all wet. Let's take a break.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show, online at DerryBrownfield.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief
or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Turn. Let's go to the telephones. A judge from Ohio called Brad. You're on the air, Brad.
Barry, how are you today?
Good, good.
Barry, I listened to you on the local radio station, and I think why Mrs. Asher is incorrect here is that her job as a juror is a fact finder. In all, you know, first of all, in the United States, The jury system that we have, the legal system we have, is the envy of the free world. We have a tremendous system to protect people's rights. Her job, and the oath that she's given as a juror in every state that I'm familiar with, is to apply the facts. The jurors determine the facts, not the law. Now, you have to assume that the attorneys representing this young gentleman that was in trouble had pretrial hearings where the suppression of the evidence, the illegal search that Mrs. Asher refers to, was already come up and decided by a judge before she ever got to the courtroom. And that's what the attorney representing the defendant does. So the bottom line here is Miss Asher did not do her job. Her job was to find the facts. If she didn't believe that the state, whatever state this is, proved the case, then she has a right to say not guilty because the facts have not been proved. But she has jumped the fence and she's taken on the legal issue, which is not her job, never has been in the system.
Okay, but let's go back to those first Supreme Court rulings where John Jay and Carol, you might mention them again. It's been proven in court, has it not, under the Supreme Court rulings that, the jury does have the right to say a law is bad.
Appreciate the Ohio judge calling in. But just before the break, I don't know if you heard me read a few of these. John Jay said the jury has the right to judge both the law as well as the fact in controversy. That was in our beginnings, the very first Supreme Court in 1789. And then in 1796, the jury has the right to determine both the law and the facts. Now, I could go on and read, but it's not necessary. So my question to you, sir, in Judge in Ohio, is when did it get changed from what John Jay and the subsequent Supreme Court justices said? When did that get changed to today, where I am told that I shall just look at the evidence and take the law, however the judge explains it to me, and disregard anything that the judge says should not be considered?
Well, Ms. Asher, first, to answer your question, the Supreme Court, from John Jay's time until the current, reviews the law. Although they review the facts to determine if they're sufficient, the Supreme Courts are not judges that hear the case, the original trial. They're reviewing judges. I don't know whether you're taking John Jay's statements out of context or not, but John Jay was only one judge, and we have nine. So, and have had for more than 200 years. The bottom line is, your job is to determine facts, not law.
Sir, when you became a judge, did you not swear an oath to uphold the supreme law of the land, such that Article 6, Section 2 says, if I may read it?
Okay, let's read it after the commercial break. Stay tuned.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
We all want to live in a country where our individual freedoms and private property rights are not only preserved, but protected. That's the main purpose of the Paragon Foundation, protecting your private property rights while supporting the productive multiple use of public lands. But more than that, Paragon goes to bat for you to keep your freedoms alive. The Paragon Foundation supports individuals and organizations involved in litigation, education, research, and the exchange of ideas related to their mission. But they need your help. So when you see private property rights being violated, call the Paragon Foundation. They'll make sure you have what you need to put out little sparks before they turn into big fires. But when those sparks burst into flames, they'll be there fighting for your private property rights. Support the Paragon Foundation today by calling 1-877-847-3443. That's 1-877-847-3443. Located in rural Missouri is a place called Heartland, a modern-day city of refuge where men, women, and children can come and find hope in the various recovery programs offered by Pastor Charles Sharp and members of Heartland Community Church. The Heartland community includes Heartland Children and Youth Homes, Heartland Recovery Programs for Adults, K-12 Heartland Christian Academy, Nations Harvest Bible College, and several businesses, including one of the largest dairy operations in the country. Every home, business, classroom, and job site at Heartland are filled with people who are reaching out with compassion of Jesus Christ to help those who are hurting. Heartland came into being as a result of prayer, and prayer continues to be the source of Heartland's daily harvest of miracles. Heartland is a true haven of spiritual healing. To learn more about Heartland, call 660-284-6212. That's 660-284-6212. Carol, interestingly enough, and I don't know if this was just an innocent problem here or not, but our Ohio judge dropped. He is not on the air with us anymore.
All right. Okay. I was about to read this one supremacy clause from Article 6 of the Constitution, which says, "The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, shall be the supreme law of the land." Here's the key phrase, "and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby." So I wanted to ask the judge if he did not swear an oath to uphold this supremacy clause, and also under the Bill of Rights then, which applies to this case that I served on, to protect the young man's God-given rights against unwarranted search and seizure, unlawful search and seizure. He says that I must disregard whether that search was lawful, and yet the Constitution binds me, and I would think binds the judge also, to make sure that whatever they do, whatever police action they approve, must honor and uphold that supreme law.
The judge did not call back. Let's go to Judy in Nebraska. Hi, Judy, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, you're on the air, Judy.
Yes, I want to say thank you to Mrs. Asher for being informed and standing her ground. I think that's wonderful. The inscription on the Nebraska State Capitol building is, "The salvation of the state is watchfulness of the citizen." And I'm on the city council in Falls City, Nebraska, and I continually encourage people to attend meetings to be informed, not just to be informed about city council things, but anything legal, like, you know, courts and juries. I think that's important, and I thank her again for doing what she
did. Thank you. Gary, may I go on?
Yes, please.
Okay. What about a solution here, then? Or I should say, what can we, the people, do to get us back on the original plan? Or, like the judge says, if I'm incorrect that we don't have the right to judge the law as well as the facts, then let's learn why he's correct and I'm not, okay? But right now, at this point, he didn't convince me. So I'm going to march on with my own understanding until he shows me a better way. So what is the solution? How can we get our system back on the original plan? I want you to consider and see if you think this would help. First of all, as this dear lady that from Nebraska just called in, a city councilman called in, yes, show up for jury duty. Show up for civic events. Be a participator, okay? So show up for jury duty, and then if the judge gives what seems to be the apparently standardized instruction of, I will explain the law, and you must apply it only as I explain it, then signal to speak. I mean, put your hand up and say, Your Honor, I will do that. Yes, I will do that, provided that after weighing the whole matter, I in conscience sincerely believe that the law as you explained it to me in this case does not in any way violate God's law of truth and justice or the rights of the accused. Now, if you say this, anyone who says this, you perhaps will be removed from the jury pool forthwith, but not before having had the chance to give out a very important, valuable message to that room full of people present. Now, some judges, and it happened in my case, they seemed almost to be making fun of us, the jury, when he said, I will explain the law to you, and you must apply it as I explain it. Get this. Even if you think it is a dumb law. Even if you think it is...
He said that?
I'm sorry, he said that. Even if it is in the transcript, Gary, it's public information, it's in the transcript. Even if you think it is a dumb law, even if you think it is a stupid law, you must apply it as I explain it. Now, I think they're poking fun at us. Something has to be done.
Well, Carol, I'm glad that you're off the hook, at least on this.
On this, yes.
But it would be interesting if that had have gone to court.
Yes.
And would it have been a jury trial, I guess, would it not?
Yes, it would.
Uh-huh. It'd be interesting to see if a jury would have overthrown that, and that would have put these judges back in their place, perhaps.
Yeah.
But we're out of time, Carol, and may the good Lord bless and keep you while the near or far away. May the good you wish for others shine on you today. May your heart stay tuned to music that'll cheer the hearts of men. May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Who cares about the clouds?
America is at war right now.
It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.